Well, good morning to everyone. Welcome here. So glad that you're here this morning. I know we had a lot of things to keep us away this morning. We're hour early and then snow on the ground, but glad that each of you are here. So appreciate you coming. A couple announcements here as we begin. If you see your bulletin, just take a look at that real quick. Just a couple reminders here. Just a reminder that our Lenten services will be on March 27th, April 3rd, April 10th this year. We're kind of scaling that back a little bit, so if you would, just keep that in mind. Also, just a reminder about our Easter egg hunt for the children. It's going to be here April 9th. Hopefully there won't be snow on the ground for that. We actually had a year where there was snow on the ground, but hopefully it won't be that this time around. So it's from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock here, and all the kids are welcome to come and participate in that. We usually have a section out here in this area for the smaller children, and then the larger ones over in the larger grassy area. So that kind of gives everybody a fair chance, especially the little ones. So I hope that you come. Invite your family, friends that have children, and please come. And there's usually lots and lots of eggs. I don't know how many, but I'd say maybe 1,000. So it's actually really a lot of eggs.
Actually, last year was 1,100.
1,100 eggs last year. So, you know, the kids, please bring friends and family and all the kids in the community. It's really a community event. So we hope that lots come to participate in that. And so just because there is so many eggs, we are accepting candy donations. We've done that years past. If you'd like to bring candy to donate, please do. We just ask that you make sure the candy's able to be fit in an egg. You know, it can't be too big, and so individually wrapped and can be put in an egg was what we were asking for. Okay. There's so much here, but I guess one thing in particular, next week is our spring CBM meeting. We're going to have a carrying meal following the service, so if you want to stay, please do, and just take time to fellowship there. I ask you to bring a dish to share, maybe a dessert as well. Those are always good, and just pray that you can stay and be a part of that. Also, we are having that first vote for the separation process, so we pray that there's a good turnout to that and that people will come and participate. Active members are able to participate in the vote. But anyone can come to the meal and even stay for the meeting as well. Also, just a note about choir practice. We're planning on putting together a little choir, and Janet has agreed to kind of lead us there in that, and we're looking forward to that. Our practice dates are going to be March 27th, which will be next Sunday following service, and then April 3rd as well. And then also we will be practicing Easter morning there before service. So if you like to stay and sing and or you enjoy singing, please participate in that. It like I say, it's just following the morning worship, but when we'll stay and sing, and I think Janet has a couple songs picked out that we'll be working on. So we look forward to that. And thanks to Janet for her willingness to lead us in that. We appreciate that. Is there any other announcements you'd like to share at this time?
No. April 3rd at 2 o'clock, the kids are asked to come back to church and stuff the eggs for the Easter egg hunt.
Okay, April 3rd at 2 o'clock, Kenny said. Deborah?
We are actually having a lunch with the children's church.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And then something
else. Right.
Remember?
Yeah.
Okay. So an update on the update is that they're going to stay and have lunch and then do the egg packing. So I know they look forward to that. April 3rd. Any other announcements? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for that beautiful white snow that's out there. Lord, I know that it's an obstacle for us to get here, but Lord, it sure is pretty. And Lord, we're just reminded through it, Lord, that you bless us. And Lord, that you, Lord, that you've made all that is beautiful and wonderful. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise. We worship you here this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand for this morning's call to worship. This is inside your bulletins, taken from portions of 1 John chapter 3. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us.
And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers.
If anyone has material possession and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?
Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth.
This is how we know that we belong to the truth.
And how we set our hearts at rest in his presence.
Let's turn in our hymnals to page 66, to God be the glory.
So love to the world that he gave us his son.
I want to take just a couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests and praises that we'd like to share. A couple names I would like you to put on your prayer list, if you would. First of all, would you put the name Roy Casmore on your prayer list? Many of you know that we cut wood for Roy once a year at his house there in Jennings Gap Road. And Roy has not been doing well. Roy's in a wheelchair, and he has recently gotten sick. He's actually in the hospital, at least he was this past week, and was able to go visit with Roy and just pray with him and share with him a little bit. And he's just asking for your continued prayers for him. So I know you might not know him, but if you would just lift up that name, Roy Casmore, this week, that you can just be in prayer for him. Also, if you would lift up John Botkin in your prayers. John had been in the hospital. He's, I guess he'd be my great uncle, but he had been in the hospital because of some blood clots, and he's doing much better now. He's home, so if you would as well, just keep John Botkin in your prayers. Also, would you keep Deborah's mother in your prayers, Sharon Morris? She's been fighting pneumonia, and would just ask for your prayers as well. We had some good news this week. Cindy Cummings, my aunt, her daughter, Miranda, she's had a baby here probably about maybe 3 months ago now. Maybe not even that long. Deborah's correcting me. About 4 or 5 months. But anyways, he had had a bad cough, and so they took him to get a x-ray, and they took an x-ray, and they found, they called it a 2-centimeter mass on his lung. And so that was very scary. We were praying for that. And they made an appointment that same week, last week, for him to go to UVA to kind of get checked over again. And the person there was able to look at the x-ray of that scan and said that the way that Mason was positioned, that it was nothing more than a shadow, and that it wasn't any mass on his lung. So we just praise the Lord for that. That was a scary situation. And anytime you hear mass, you start to think of the worst. But praise the Lord. It was just a shadow, and that it was nothing there. And so they're just going to treat him for a cough, and he will be fine. But we certainly was rejoicing in our family for that answered prayer there. Also, would you just keep Virginia Radebush in your prayers? I know that she is someone maybe that you continue to pray for. She's a shut-in, and her address is there in the inside of your bulletin. But I was able to visit with her this past week, and she's doing well, but she asked for your prayers as well. And she was asking about the church and wanting to know how Moscow was doing. So I was able to share with her just how well things were going. And she was certainly keeping all of you in her prayers, and we want to do the same for her. Also, we want to continue to pray for Gene Armstrong. Gene will be going for chemo treatments this week. I believe it starts on Tuesday. I think that's right. I have it written down, but Tuesday she'll be going for chemo. They're going to change the course of treatment for her. And so she said, unfortunately, that means I won't be able to be around anyone for a little bit because of the chemo. But she certainly asked for your prayers as well. And if you didn't get a chance to send her a card, I pray that you do. I know that that would really encourage her, and it lift her spirits, and she needs that. So we want to continue to lift her up in prayer. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Joanne.
Kathy wanted me to ask everybody to pray for her stepdad. He's having some more issues. He's got leakage in one of his valves.
Okay.
They said they couldn't operate on opening up his chest anymore. I'm going to have to go over there.
Okay.
He's not doing very good again.
Kathy's stepdad. Mm-hmm. Remind me of his name.
Eddie Corbin.
Okay.
I got a new donor.
That's right.
For two grandsons.
Hunter and Gunner.
Yeah,
Hunter and Gunner, welcome. Welcome to each of you. We're glad that you're here. Hunter and Gunner especially. We appreciate you being here. And what a joy that is, Joanne, for your family.
That is.
And we just thank the Lord for that. Absolutely.
He's got a good one.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you for sharing, Joanne. Other praises or prayer requests that you'd like to share? Anything else? With that, I'm going to call on our ushers to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, just again thankful for all that you bless us with. Lord, we know that we are sinners, and Lord, we fall short. Lord, in our life, our daily routine, Lord, we fall short. Lord, we sin, and Lord, we disappoint you. But yet, Lord, you are a good and loving God that continues to pour down your grace, your mercy, and your love upon us. And Lord, for that, we are most thankful. Lord, we come before you praising you here this morning. Lord, thanking you for who you are to us. And Lord, that we have you in our life. Lord, we pray this morning for those that don't have you in their life, Lord. We pray that, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to others, even as you have revealed yourself to each one of us. Lord, how you've proved yourself to us over and over and over again. And Lord, for that we are thankful. Father, we lift up on our prayer list those that are sick, those that need healing. Lord, those that need your help. Lord, that those that need your healing hand. And we lift those names up to you here this morning that your will might be done. Father, we pray for those that, Lord, are seeking you, and that you might help them in their time of need. Lord, we rejoice in the praises as well, Lord, even for families that are growing, for new faces here at church, Lord. And Lord, just for all the things that we rejoice in, Lord, we just give you thanks. Father, we pray for our offertory this morning as well. Lord, just might be a blessing to you as we offer these things, Lord, as we give from what you have given to us. Lord, we seek to honor you with it, and we just pray that you receive it even now unto yourself. Lord, bless those that give. Lord, bless us as we seek to serve you. Father, we praise you now. Bless us, I pray, the rest of this service. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. And in your Bible, I want you to turn me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Just one verse we'll be looking at here today. And the title of the sermon is, Why Does Easter Matter? This is kind of going to be a first part of this, but I think it will span over several weeks here as we build towards Easter, of really getting in depth and looking at why does Easter matter? Maybe you've not thought of that yet or thought it through completely, so we'll look at that together here. And as we turn here, first in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 here, let's look at this together. But God, it says, demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you was to think about that question, or maybe if we were to go out on the street and ask that question, why does Easter matter? What kind of answers do you think that you would get? You were asking people, why does Easter matter? Probably would depend a great deal on whether or not a person, first of all, knew what Easter was and what it meant, or also whether or not they were a believer. You know, to a believer, Easter means something different than a non-believer, doesn't it? And so the answers might vary a good bit. To the believer, certainly Easter is important because the Savior was revealed, and we did receive salvation and eternal life through the death and resurrection of Christ. So it would be quite an important event in the life of a believer. But in the life of a non-believer, it would just be another maybe meaningless holiday that they celebrate maybe with some things that are associated with Easter, but really miss the meaning altogether. Maybe they think of Easter egg hunts rather than the resurrection of Christ, or coloring eggs rather than their deliverance from sin through the resurrection of Christ. So the answers would vary a good bit. Well, I happened to run across a popular show that they went out on the street and were asking questions to the children. What did Easter mean? And they got a kind of a large range of answers that the children would give about what Easter was. Yeah, a lot of it was very young children too, so it's hard to get it all straight. But some of the answers that they gave, one little boy said Easter was when Jesus made a bunny. And so that was his answer. Another little boy said Easter was when Jesus comes to bring us toys. I think he might have been maybe thinking of Christmas there or something. One little girl said that Easter was when he led some people, and maybe thinking about the disciples. And one little boy, he was probably only about 3 years old. He was so cute. He had a little lisp. And he said, they asked him what Easter was, and he said, Easter is when Jesus did this. And I thought, isn't that cool? He stretched out his hands thinking of Jesus dying on the cross. Another boy was asked about Easter, and he said, what happened to Jesus? And they said, some bad guys killed Jesus on Easter. Another child replied, one kid was asked, what did Jesus die from? And to which he replied, drugs. Can you imagine? Jesus died from drugs. Another little child said, Jesus was put into a cave with a rock on top of it, and it took 2 angels and 3 days to get it off. But she said she finished. When they did, Jesus was alive. So she knew sort of. Another child said, Jesus was in heaven working on a computer, and he came down to see the bunny. And then another little boy said, when Jesus came back, he brought Easter eggs. And he said, Bunny, please don't hide those eggs. Now, to be fair, some of these children were very small and less than 5 years of age. So sometimes all the facts and the events kind of mix together. But it does make us think a little bit about what we know about Easter and why Easter is important. What does Easter mean? And why does Easter matter? And Easter does matter. At Easter, Jesus died, didn't he? And he rose from the grave. And he delivered to us salvation on the cross, didn't he? Easter matters. And we want to talk about that. I want to give you the first of four reasons why Easter matters here this morning. Number one, Easter matters because it is the evidence of God's love. It's the evidence of God's love for each of us. The Bible tells us over and over, doesn't it, that God is love. Isn't that what we read? That God is love, that Jesus loves us, and that we read that all through the Bible, the Old Testament. God went to great lengths to show the children of Israel that he loved them, didn't he? We think of Abraham. Here Abraham and Sarah were, and they were without child. They had no descendants, and God, he declared to them, I'm going to give you a child. Sarah is going to have a child, even though she's barren, and you're both of old age, but I'm still going to bless you, to show you that I love you. And Abraham and Sarah had a child, and they were blessed with their son. And we see, as we continue on through the story of Israel, we see that Jacob was blessed with 12 boys, and that they and come to live in the finest land within Egypt at one point, in Goshen, even during a famine. After 400 years, they fell into slavery, but yet God again comes around to show them that he loves them by bringing a deliverer, didn't he? Moses came and delivered them. Again, God proving to the children of Israel that he loved them. And then he set them apart, didn't he? He brought them through the wilderness. And he promised them and gave them the land flowing with milk and honey. Again, over and over were they shown by God. They were shown by God that they were blessed. God wanted them to know that he loved them. You know, whenever God tells a person that he loves them, he proves it, doesn't he? He doesn't just say it. He didn't just say in the Old Testament, I love you, children of Israel. He proved it over and over and over again. He would prove it to the children of Israel that he was their God, that he had not forsaken them, but they had often forsaken him now, didn't they? At times they would forsake the true and living God, but he would come back and again continue to show his love to the children of Israel. And God proves his love to each one of us without a doubt. Have you ever thought, what is love? What is love? That's kind of a question that I talk maybe some with couples that are going through premarital counseling. Talk about what love is. What is love? Well, the Bible tells us what love is, doesn't it? It gives us a definition of love. In fact, oftentimes preachers use that definition at the wedding ceremony. Maybe at your own wedding ceremony you heard the definition of love out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Listen again to the words. Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us, love is patient. And love is kind. Love does not envy or does not boast. Love is not arrogant and it's not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love, it bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. Isn't that a beautiful definition of love that God gives us? Perfect at the wedding ceremony. But we can remember and look to that as ourselves to be reminded of what love is, the definition of love. And notice the definition of love simply isn't emotions or feelings. A lot of times, especially a new couple, you're in that stage of being, I call it the in love stage, where the feelings and the emotions of love are just overwhelming. And that lasts for a while, but guess what? Sometimes after a period, those feelings wear off, don't they? And then the real work of love starts. Love just isn't emotions and feelings. It is that. Certainly love comes out in that way, but love is action. Notice there, it's patient and kind. That's an action, isn't it? That's something being done. Love does not envy or boast. Again, that's something that we do. It's not just a feeling. It's patient and kind. Does not boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. Does not resist insist its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. Again, all actions, right? Love is actions. We have to prove our love. We not just say we love, but we prove our love by the things that we do. You know, every night before the boys go to bed, I tell them, I love them. Night, boys, love you. Tell my wife the same thing. Night, love you. Morning, same type of thing. You know, have a good day at school. Love you, boys. We say I love you a lot, don't we? At least I do. I try to say it a lot. But just saying it is enough, is it? Can't just say it, and if there's nothing to back that up, then the boys would see through that. Well, Dad says he loves us, but he doesn't do anything that actually proves that or anything that would line up or be evidence of that. There's no proof of the love. My words would be hollow, wouldn't they? My words would be empty. I have to do things. There has to be actions that are evidence and proof that what I'm saying is real. If I love the boys, I have to prove it in a way, don't I? Hopefully they'll say, you know, Dad, he says he loves us, and we know he does. Why? Because, well, he provides for us. He takes care of us. He spends time with us. He talks with us. He does those things that proves that he loves us. It just isn't empty words. But that Dad is doing those things that tell us that he loves us and that he means it when he says it. I read a story about an adult education creative writing class, and the class was told to write I love you in 25 words or less without using the words I love you. And this one woman was in the class. The teacher saw her there, and she was spending all her time. You know, she only had 15 minutes to do this. She spent about 10 minutes kind of wrangling in her seat and kind of contorting back and forth, not knowing exactly what to write it looked like. But then in the last 5 minutes of the class, she scribbled down just a couple things and turned it in there to the teacher. Now, of course, this is an adult, again, adult education class, creative writing class. And the teacher, when she looked at the paper what this mother had written, she was really surprised at how well she had done in just the 5 minutes that she spent. And these were the three sentences that she wrote. First of all, she said, "Why I have seen better hairdos than that, honey, or worse hairdos than that, honey." And the second one, she put, "Those cookies are hardly burnt at all." And then the third sentence was, "Cuddle up here close and I'll keep your feet warm." Again, all things there that prove that she loved. her daughter. If there is not proof of love, friends, then there is not love. That's what Jesus would go to say. If there's no evidence of love, if there's no proof of love, then there is no love. Jesus would go to say, if you say you love your brother, or you say you love God and then you hate your brother, well, there's no truth in that. He said you're a liar. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is, Jesus said. For Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possession and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. Listen, God knows that for love to be real, he must prove it. And that's what we see here in our scripture. Look at verse 8 again. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's the proof of love, isn't it? God proves that he loves you. He sent his son, even while it says we were still enemies of the cross, while we were still in sin, God demonstrated his love to each one of us by sending his son that he would die upon a cross. Easter matters because it proves. It is the evidence. It is the proof that God loves you and he loves me. We know that God loves us because of Easter, because of the cross, because of the sacrifice that his son was willing to make for each one of us. We can't go around and say, well, God doesn't love me. You ever heard somebody say that? I'm so bad, God, there's no way God would love me. I've done so many horrible things, there's no way that God would love me. There's no truth in that at all, is it? You just point them right to the cross. God absolutely loves you. He loves you so much. Even while you were still sinners, he sent his son to come down and to die upon a cross. That matters, doesn't it? That makes Easter matter. It's the proof, the evidence that God loves us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the cross, Lord, in which it is a statement to each one of us here. Lord, that you loved us, that you were willing to come and die for us, and Lord, that you were willing to not just say you loved us. Lord, you could have announced that a million times if you wanted. But Lord, what meaning or power would it have if it weren't for the cross? Lord, you proved your love to us. You just didn't want to say it. You wanted us to see it firsthand. And Lord, as we think about this morning, Easter and your cross, the gift of your son coming here to this earth, being perfect, without blemish, without sin, and then being willing to take upon himself all of our sin, all of our shortcomings. And Lord, that he was willing to take upon himself a cross to hang there for each one of us, to give his life for us. Lord, we recognize the proof of that love, just how great the Father's love is for each one of us here this morning. I pray that each person here has taken advantage of that love, received it for themselves, even as God desires for us. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this love we have received from your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, let's turn in our hymnal to page 204, Rock of Ages, page 204. Let's stand together and sing. Gracious Heavenly Father, like the hymn says here, we cling to that cross. Lord, we thank you for that proof that you have given us through your cross, through your Son Jesus. Lord, we thank you for him. We praise his name. Lord, we come here this morning because of that cross, because of the salvation that we have received. Lord, we come here with our hearts turned to you, giving you thanks and praise for the salvation which we have received. Lord, in this time of Easter, help us to share that message with others. Lord, there are so many around us, Lord, that do not know the meaning of Easter. Might we just take this one point this week and share with someone that Easter is the proof that God loves us. Let us share that with as many as we can, Lord, and invite them to church. This is truly the real blessing that a person needs. Help us be the one that carries that message out to those in need. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we praise your holy name here together. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.